Okay, welcome back, everybody, to our Reads in the Workplace Chabura. This week, we begin a new Sefer Vayikra. So the Torah, in the third parak of Sefer Vayikra, says as follows. It introduces us to the Korban Shlamim, and it says, "V'im zevach shlamim korbano, im men habakar hu makriv, im zachar im nekeva, tamim yakrivenu lefnei Hashem." That if one wants to offer a zevach shlamim, a korban shlamim, and it comes from cattle, whether it's a male or female, a shlamim can be both a zachar or nekeva, then it should be wholesome and complete, and one can be makriv that before Hashem. So the Gemara in Zvachim, and Daf Dalid Amud Aleph, extrapolates from the phrase v'im zevach shlamim korbano, v'im zevach shlamim, that there is a requirement of what's called zvicha l'shem shlamim. The words zevach shlamim, you take them together, that teaches the requirement of zvicha, which refers to shchita, and it's l'shem shlamim. There's an obligation to shecht the korban shlamim for the purpose, for the sake of the korban shlamim. We know that there were four avodos. There were four stages to the process of offering a korban. They were shchita, kabbalah, holacha, and zrika. Shechting the korban, accepting or receiving its blood in a kli sharis, walking that blood, transporting it towards the mizbeach, and then sprinkling it onto the mizbeach. So the first of the avodos is shchita or zvicha, and the Gemara here establishes the requirement that the shchita be for the sake of the korban that you are offering. So if you're offering a korban shlamim, you have to do the shchita l'shem shlamim. If you're offering a korban ola, you have to do the shchita l'shem ola. The Mishnah in Zvachim and Daf Beis Amud Aleph clarifies that the obligation to do a shchita and all of the avodos lishma is really, it's only a mitzvah. It's not ma'akev. So if, for example, I offer a korban shlamim, I shech the shlamim, but I do it for the purpose of a different korban, I have a korban shlamim and I shecht it not for the purpose of a shlamim, but rather for the purpose of an ola, the korban remains kosher, but I haven't fulfilled my obligation. So if I took a neder to bring the korban shlamim, I would have to bring another korban. However, the korban itself remains kosher and can still be offered on the mizbeach. However, there are two exceptions to that rule, says the Mishnah. The two exceptions are the korban chatos and the korban pesach. That if one offers a korban pesach for the sake of a different korban, instead of bringing it l'shem pesach, he brings it l'shem ola or l'shem chatos, then that korban pesach is disqualified, it's illegitimate, it may not be offered on the mizbeach. Today we're going to focus on the halacha, that a korban pesach must be l'shma, that it has to be l'shem pesach, that if it's l'shem any other korban, then it is pasul, and we're going to try to use that halacha to try to glean a glimpse of an insight into the essence of the Korban Pesach. So let's begin by discussing the source for this exceptional requirement that a Korban Pesach must be lishma. We're going to try to explain why it is that the Korban Pesach's lishma is me'akiv, that it's indispensable, that if one forgoes the lishma of the Korban Pesach, then that disqualifies the Korban. And then we're going to try to assess what this requirement of lishma for the Korban Pesach reflects about the character of the Korban Pesach and its general role. So let's begin with the source of the halacha. In general, in the world of kadshim, of korbanos, something is ma'akev only if the Torah repeats the requirement. That's known as the requirement of shina alav hakasuv la'akev, that the Torah repeats the requirement. So the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Zayin Amud Beis shows, it demonstrates that with respect to the Korban Pesach, there are not one but two psukim that teach us that there is a requirement for lishma, to offer the Korban Pesach for the sake of the Pesach. And since there are two psukim, so that satisfies shina alav hakasuv la'akiv, it satisfies the requirement of repetition. And since there's a repetition, so that requirement becomes an ikuv, it becomes something that's indispensable. So the two psukim are, on the one hand, ve'asisa pesach la'Hashem elokecha, you should bring the pesach for the sake of Hashem. From the words ve'asisa pesach, we derive that all of the avodos of the pesach have to be for the sake of the korban pesach. And then the Gemara quotes another another pasuk, va'amartem zevach pesach hu l'Hashem, that this pesach is for Hashem, zevach pesach hu l'Hashem. We extrapolate from there that the korban pesach has to be slaughtered, has to be shechted for the purpose of the pesach. From the combination of these two psukim, ve'asisa pesach and zevach pesach hu l'Hashem, the Gemara and later the Ramban Suleh HaMukdash in Perek Tezvav Halacha Gimel codifies this, that these two sources establish the indispensable requirement of Lishma for a Korban Pesach. It's very interesting that the Yerushalmi in Perek He of Psachim, Halacha Beis, it doesn't cite two Psukim, but rather it suffices with just one Pasuk to teach that the requirement of Lishma is indispensable for the Korban Pesach. The Yerushalmi says that from the Pasuk, Va'amartem Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem, we derive that if the Korban Pesach is offered for the sake of a Pesach, then it's kosher. And if it's offered for anything other than the sake of the Korban Pesach, then it is pasul, it is invalid. What's interesting is that the Yerushalmi here seems to go against the grain. Seems to go against the general principle that we always need two psukim to teach that a requirement is indispensable in the world of kachim. The Yerushalmi quotes only one pasuk. Why is it that we suffice with only one pasuk according to the Yerushalmi? So here we might offer the following answer. The rule that we need two psukim in the world of korbanos to teach that something is indispensable is true with respect to a kiyum hamitzvah. When we're talking about something that's it's a fulfillment. You're trying to, there's a certain halacha that you need to fulfill. So without two psukim, then you would think that it's a lechatchila. Lechatchila, you should do it in X, Y, or Z fashion. And if the Torah repeats that and it tells it to you twice, so then you know that without doing X, Y, or Z, then whatever you're trying to accomplish is not valid. However, if something is definitional to what you're doing, then even without a repetition, then I would know that without it, what I'm trying to do is going to be disqualified. Because anything that's definitional to a process, without it, I lack the definition of the process. So let's apply that abstract to this concrete case. Perhaps what the Yerushalmi is assuming is that the requirement of Lishma for a Korban Pesach is definitional to what a Korban Pesach is. A Pesach is not just a Pesach that was offered. It's a Pesach that was offered for the sake of the Pesach. The intent of the Korban is definitional to the Korban. So if it's definitional, then without it, I just lack a Korban Pesach. I don't have a Korban Pesach if I don't have the intent, if I don't have the sake of the Korban Pesach. And therefore, says the Yerushalmi, perhaps, that I can suffice with one Pasuk to teach the requirement of Lishma. Because once my understanding of the nature of Lishma is that it's definitional to the Korban, so then without it, the Korban is just not what I'm looking for. It's not the Korban. If Lishma is definitional to the Korban Pesach, then without Lishma, I don't have a Korban Pesach. So therefore, I can derive just from one pasuk that the requirement of Lishma is ma'akev, that it's indispensable with respect to the Korban Pesach. The truth is that there is a further application of this perspective of the Yerushalmi, that Lishma is definitional to a Korban Pesach. And this further application is going to express and highlight the definitional character of Lishma. And that's where we come to another case of what's called Pesach L'Shem Chulin. So let's say, to draw up the following case, let's say I bring a Korban Pesach. And instead of offering it for the sake of a Pesach, I offer it for the sake of chulin, for the sake of a non-sanctified animal, just a stam animal that I would shecht for the pleasure of having a dinner on a Wednesday night. It has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, it has nothing to do with korbanos, it's chulin, it lacks any sanctity. So when I bring my Korban Pesach, I have the intent, I think that I'm bringing it for the sake of chulin. Is that kosher or is that pasul? So the Gemara in Zvachim says that in general, whenever I offer a korban for the sake of chulin, the korban remains kosher. So if I were to take a korban ola and I were to shecht it for the sake of chulin, it would remain kosher. Why? So the Gemara explains based on a concept of what's called mina machriv, shelo b'mina eina machriv. Only that which is kadshim can compromise the status of another korban. But if I appeal to something outside of the world of kadshim, then that won't compromise the status of my korban. So for example, again, I'm bringing my korban ola and I'm thinking about chulin. Those are two totally different worlds. So says the Gemara, that chulin that you're thinking about has no effect whatsoever on the ola that you're trying to bring. However, there is one exception to this rule according to the Rambam. The Rambam says in Psulei HaMukdash in Perek Tes Vav Halacha Yod Aleph that the Korban Pesach is an exception to this rule. That if I bring a Korban Pesach and I do it for the sake of chulin of a non-sanctified animal, then that Korban Pesach is pasul. The chulin has the ability to deter, to neutralize the kashrus of the Korban Pesach. Why is it that when I bring a Korban Pesach for the sake of chulin, the Pesach has been annihilated, it's been destroyed, whereas when I bring any other Korban for the sake of a chulin, then for the sake of chulin, it remains kosher? What is distinct about the Korban Pesach? What accounts for the uniqueness of the Korban Pesach that when it's brought l'shem chulin, when it's brought for the sake of chulin, it suddenly becomes pasul, different from all other korbanos? So there are different approaches you could take to this question, but Rav Meir Simcha in Divinsk in the Or Sameach, he has a certain approach to this question that tries to play on the relationship between Pesach and just the stam animal of chulin. But that's not, I don't want to get into that for today. If anybody's interested in seeing that approach, I think I put it on the source sheet. But for today, I want to explore a different approach, which is based on that which we've already discussed. Namely, that according to the Yerushalmi, the requirement of Lishma, of Lishem Pesach, for the sake of Pesach, is definitional to the Korban Pesach. So if I lack Lishem Pesach, my Korban Pesach is automatically destroyed because it lacks a certain element of its definition. It doesn't matter what I substitute the intent with, whether it's for another korban or it's for chulin, doesn't really matter what else I'm thinking about. As long as it's not for the Pesach, then the korban Pesach has been destroyed. Then it's been taken down. Now the korban Pesach is no longer kosher because it lacks its definition. Part of the definition of the korban Pesach is that it be brought for the sake of Pesach and nothing else. As my Rebbe likes to say, or Rosenzweig likes to explain, there is no fallback for the Korban Pesach. It's all or nothing. It's either a Korban Pesach or it's nothing. Doesn't matter whether I bring it for the sake of an Ola or for the sake of Chulin, for the sake of anything else. If it's not brought for the sake of a Korban Pesach, then it is plainly not a Korban Pesach. How does this singular role of Lishma, of this indispensable requirement that the Korban Pesach be brought for its sake, how does that reflect on the essence of the character of the Korban Pesach? So I want to make the following argument. The Medrash in Parshas Bo describes on the Pasuk of Mishru ukhu lachem tzom, that the Klal Yisrael should Mishru, they should pull themselves away from the deities of Mitzrayim, and instead, ukhu lachem tzon, they should take a sheep and slaughter it in front of the Egyptians, and in so doing, accept upon themselves the emuna b'Hashem. So the Medrash describes there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that Klal Yisrael being taken out of Mitzrayim had to be preceded by a very important step. Klal Yisrael could not be taken out of Mitzrayim until ad sheyishchetu Eloheihem le'inehem, until they slaughtered the gods of the Egyptians in front of their very eyes. by taking the Korban Pesach, which was a tzon, which was a sheep, which was something that Mitzrayim, which the Mitzrim worshipped, by taking that Korban Pesach and by shechting it in front of Mitzrayim, in their very presence, Klal Yisrael rid itself of any attachment to Egyptian culture, to Egyptian worship, to its foreign deities, and on the contrary, it accepted upon itself the sovereignty of the Ribono Shel Olam, and Klal Yisrael expressed in so doing its full faith and commitment in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as such, the Korban Pesach constitutes the Korban that lies at the very core, at the very foundation of the relationship between Klal Yisrael as a nation and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as that nation's God. By taking the God of the Egyptians and slaughtering it in front of them, Ad sheyishchitu Eloheim le'inehem, what Klal Yisrael did was offer, Rav Rosenzweig likes to explain, likes the term, they offered a Korban Emuna. By offering this Korban, they expressed their full faith and commitment in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the Yesod, if that's the essence of the Korban Pesach, so then we can understand very easily why Lishma is definitional to the Korban. Because if the Korban is trying to achieve the goal of establishing a faith and commitment, so then that has to be done with full intent. You can't offer a Korban Emuna without the intent of expressing Emuna. If you have the intent for a different Korban and the intent for Chulin, then it just lacks that definitional quality of being a Korban that expresses the faith and commitment, that transcendent objective that we're trying to achieve with the Korban Pesach. Truth is that there are many other expressions and laws and evidence that reflect this essential character of the Korban Pesach. For example, the Torah in Parsha Shmos in Perek Yud Beis, towards the end of the Perek, it says, Zos chukas ha-pesach, kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. The law of the Pesach is that any ben nechar may not partake of its consumption. Chazal explained that ben nechar in this pasuk refers to a meshumad. It refers to someone who's abandoned the religion for the sake of avodah zarah. And the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Yud Gimel explains that since we offer the Korban Pesach as a symbol for having come tachas kanfei Ashrina, for our inauguration, our initiation as Am Hashem, our entrance into the Bris Torah U'Mitzvos, we can't allow a Ben Nechar, someone who's abandoned that Bris, to partake of this Korban. Doing so would be antithetical to its very essence, because the Korban is all about expressing Amuna Ba'Hashem, expressing a full faith and commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to his Bris Torah U'Mitzvos, and someone who unfortunately has left, has rebelled against that, has abandoned it, and instead has taken upon himself exactly what we're trying to run away from, to flee from, Mishchu Uku Lachem Tzon, Ad Sheyishchitu Eloheim Le'inehem. To feed the Korban Pesach to such a person would be antithetical to what the Korban Pesach is all about. In addition to that, on this basis of from this perspective of the essence of Korban Pesach being all about a Korban Emuna, trying to express our faith and commitment to Hashem, we can also understand the very close and intimate relationship between Korban Pesach and another mitzvah saseh, namely the positive commandment of Bris Milah. We know that Bris Milah and Korban Pesach are the only two positive commandments that carry with them the consequence of karis for not fulfilling them. What's the common denominator between these two that they carry with them such a grave consequence? So seemingly, they both pertain to the disregarding of Kedushas Yisrael, to the sanctity of the Jewish nation. Bris Milah initiates Kedushas Yisrael on the individual level. By having a Bris Milah, a person enters, he achieves the full level of Kedushas Yisrael as an individual. And Korban Pesach, very similarly, initiates Kedushas Yisrael on the communal level. So the natural consequence of disregarding each of these is the severance from Klal Yisrael, namely karis. It's just a natural outgrowth of disregarding the initiation of Kedushas Yisrael. And again, against the backdrop of what the Korban Pesach is all about, of that Korban Emuna that expresses the nation's faith and commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we can understand why the Korban Pesach is that which initiates the Kedushas Yisrael of Klal Yisrael as a community, as a nation. So, as Korban Pesach reflects, at the center of the holiday of Pesach really lies the generation of our nation, of Klal Yisrael, and its relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with its creator. The Korban Pesach highlights that the relationship is not just happenstance, but that at the bedrock of that relationship is emuna, is commitment, is devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maharal explains very beautifully that it's for this reason that the Mishnah says in Arvei Pesachim that we don't drink anything between the third and the fourth of the Dalet Kosos. Because the third Kos corresponds to V'ga'alti, to the exodus from Mitzrayim. And the fourth Kos corresponds to V'lakachti, to the generation, to the formation of Klal Yisrael as a nation. There can't be any interruption between the redemption and between Klal Yisrael becoming a nation that V'lakachti eschem li la'am v'hayisi lachem le'lokim, lachem le'lokim. There cannot be any interruption between the redemption and between Klal Yisrael's devotion as a nation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the whole redemption, the whole process was for the sake of Klal Yisrael coming tachas kanfei Hashchina, devoting itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we're seeing, that the Korban Pesach really reflects this at its very core. So even without the Korban Pesach Bizman Hazeh, hopefully we can experience what Chag HaPesach is all about, and we can recommit ourselves, rejuvenate our emuna and our commitment coming into the upcoming Chag HaPesach, Chag HaMatzos. Wish everybody a great rest of the week.